heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the way to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Beneath that cleansing flood, the Bible says there is a fountain, or a song says there is a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That is Bible, but it's actually a song. That's the only fountain I know that can cleanse from sin.
Amen.
Y'all got one? All right, 156.
One more. Fresh memory,
156. Amen. That sounds like a good one to me. I don't know about y'all, but I do have some precious memories.
I do too, and you know, that's one thing the world can't take away from you. They can't take away everything else, but as long as you're in your right mind, you can still have them memories.
Amen.
That's what I told Dale this week when she was talking about Jason. She said, that when he was a little boy, he used to slip off and come to her house. Of course, he lived back behind us.
Yeah.
And he'd slip off. And she said, I just think about that, how that he would come. She said he was her favorite nephew. And how that, you know, things they did. She was talking about things that they had done. I said, Gail, just hang on to your memory.
Right. She probably imparted to him a whole lot more that'll be found out later on. I hate what the young boy did, but I'll tell you one thing. God made a way that those be banished can be reconciled, and we just have to see.
156.
Ever flood my Trying to name those that had gone to be with the Lord, and the list was greater than I realized. And as I was naming them, it just seemed like there were just came more and more and more aunts and uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, man, oh man, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my cousins. And I'll tell you what, done gone ahead of me, but we'll be reunited thanks to the blessedness of heaven and Jesus. Bible said, them which sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes.
Amen.
What a comfort. Brother Anthony and Sister Melissa, they had to leave, and they left me a note here if I would take Jessica home, we'd be glad to do that. And it won't be no problem at all. We'd be glad to do that. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was really good. I really enjoyed it. And our preaching this morning, we'll be preaching again the series on a closer look at Jesus. And today, our lesson will be from a lad to the Lamb. And we'll read our text verse here out of Hebrews, but we'll be actually preaching out of Matthew chapter 3 if you want to turn there. But in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 9 through 11 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he and they that sanctify, and they that who are And they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." And we'll be taking our reading here in just a minute, Matthew chapter 3. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. And I pray, dear Father, this morning for those that are here, for those that will be hearing this message by way of internet. I pray, Father, Lord, you'd give me, Lord, anointing from on high. Pray you'd fill my home with oil. Give me, Lord, liberty. Give me, Lord, wisdom. Lord, I pray for discernment, Father. Lord, I pray for the help of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, I know you chose the foolishness of preaching. Not many mighty are called, not many noble. But Lord, you just chose the foolish things of this world to declare eternal things. And I'm like Paul, thank God for counting me faithful and putting me in the ministry. And I pray for this blessing today to brag on your son. And Lord, I pray you'll help me to do that. For Lord, I know you love your son. And Lord, we just pray for the help of God in this message today. In Jesus' precious name, save those that are here lost, bless those that are here saved, and may you get a blessing by doing so. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Get wired up here this morning. We're preaching today. Again, we started up preaching about the birth of Jesus, his miraculous birth. And last Sunday we preached about his childhood. And today we're going to be going from the childhood, from a lad to the Lamb. And we'll actually be starting right where we stopped reading there, Matthew chapter number 2. And we'll read this whole chapter. And we're just going to read it. May comment on it a little bit. We've got quite a bit of reading. I don't like to do that because I know too much Bible will wear you out. And more preaching. In other words, too much scripture. You can just take so much. Well, we're going to read this chapter. It's 17 verses. And it talks about, you know, Jesus here in chapter 2. About him coming back to Nazareth. That it might be fulfilled. It was wrote about him, scripture, by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. And that's one of the scriptures he fulfilled in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now John is the forerunner of the Messiah. Verse 2, as he comes out, he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his ways his path straight. That's Isaiah 40 verse 3. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat or his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits meant for repentance. Now the reason John said that is because they didn't come sorry. They didn't come repenting. They just come out there out of curiosity to see what the heck everybody's coming out to John for. And he rebukes them and tells them they need to repent. Verse 9, he rebukes them again. And he says, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10, another rebuke, reproof. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Here he makes a reference to Jesus. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now here's why we read this, is this verse right here. Then cometh Jesus. He's not a little boy no more. He's about 30 years old. Then come of Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. Understand this, here's the Messiah. He's coming to the forerunner of God. And John says, hey, we've got this backwards. I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. Understand, Jesus is not lost. He does not need to be saved. He's setting an example here for lost people to know what to do. He comes to John, setting a godly example, and Jesus answers John, verse 15, and Jesus answered unto him, said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. You get saved, and heaven will be opened unto you. The Bible says we've got a new and a living way. An entrance has been made by Jesus that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. We have access. We have heaven open to us. And heaven is open to Jesus here. And not only that, John said he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. If you've been saved, God gave you of His Spirit. And your Spirit bears witness with His Spirit that you are a child of God. And here Jesus is. He's just setting an example. And also it said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You get saved this morning, and there'll be a voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. You can't please God without Jesus. But I'll tell you what, through Jesus you can please God. The Bible talks about, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And the wrath of God abides upon him. Jesus here, being the obedient Son of God, comes to John, says, John, baptize me. And John said, hey, buddy, I need to be baptized of you. And you come to me. Jesus said, suffer to be so, John. It becomes us to fulfill righteousness. And Jesus is setting an example here of what you need to do. He didn't need to repent. He never was ever lost. He came, the sinless Son of God. He came to set the example. John baptized him. Heaven's open to him. The voice says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Now, this next chapter here, I'll tell you what'll happen after you get saved. I didn't have the devil tell me I wasn't saved until after I got saved. I got saved and hear that liar come by. And he said, you ain't really saved. And I was smart enough to realize something was wrong here. Because he had never said nothing like that to me before I got saved. So I must have got something, Jessica. And the Bible does say the devil's a liar and the father of it. So this next chapter here, Jesus again is going to show you what happens when you get saved. Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. All that live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, will suffer persecution. Here the devil is persecuting the Son of God. Here's how he does it. Jesus here, the obedient Son, he's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Reason for that is he knows he's going to be tempted. He knows this enemy's coming and he's preparing himself. The Bible said he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. If you want to be tempted without sin, you better list up what Jesus did here. He fasted, Brother Melvin, for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, and notice this, a question. If thou be the Son of God, there's your question. Yeah. The devil will come to you He'll say, if you're really saved, why is this? Why is that? Why are you having so much trouble? Why? Why aren't you wealthy? Why aren't you healthy? Why is it you're having so much struggle? Sometimes it don't always add up, Brother Bobby. I've been instructed that whatever state I'm in, therewith be content. I've been instructed to trust the Lord no matter what comes my way, and to believe God that somehow or another it'll be alright. Well, the tempter comes, and he comes with a question, Brother Donnie, and he pretty much says, if you're really saved, I'll tell you what, brother, why don't you just prove it?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way the devil does. He says, first of all, he's trying to throw doubt. He said, if thou be the Son of God, won't you just prove it? Won't you command these stones be made bread? Now listen, Jesus could do that. He could have done it. It would have been easy. But had he done it, then the devil could have gloated over, see what I got him to do. So Jesus here, being tempted of his sonship, being tempted of the fact now he's hungry, and the first thing you do when you're hungry, your flesh says, let's go get something to eat. I'm convinced we'll eat something today. Is anybody here not going to eat nothing today? Well, I'm convinced we'll feed our flesh today. But wouldn't it be something if the devil said, you know, if you're really saved, you know, you don't really have to go down so-and-so. You could just command. And listen, if God was your father, you could say, a tenderloin sandwich and whoop, a tenderloin flop right there, and I'd eat it if he did. Or maybe he'd say some grilled shoulder, barbecue shoulder sandwich or fried chicken. Glory to God, I better be careful here. I won't be able to preach with mouth slobbering. Or maybe fish, fried fish, hush puppies or something like that. But I tell you what, buddy, when you get to thinking about that, I got to prove nothing, glory to God. He's the one that said I was his son. Hallelujah.
Hey.
I ain't got to go around proving nothing. The Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, here Jesus here, being tempted by this old accuser, this old tempter. Verse 4, he answered that devil, and he said, devil, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And let me tell you this. If the devil don't want you to know the Word of God, he'd rather have you eating than have you reading. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, he'll give you something easier to keep you reading the Word of God. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him again, he's tempting the fact whether he's the Son of God. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they will bear in their hands they'll bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's Psalms chapter number 91, verse 11. And the devil here is using a little scripture. Now the devil will use a little scripture. He won't use truth. He'll just throw a little truth. As a matter of fact, he pretty much quoted everything God said to Eve. What he told Adam. God told Adam, God said, Adam, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the devil comes up to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and he said, yea, have God said, he said, you shall not surely die. Change one word.
Yeah.
By changing one word, he said, you shall not surely die, for God doeth know the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall be as God, knowing the difference between good and evil. Next verse said, Eve saw that tree to be desired to make one wise. She took and eat of it, gave to her husband, he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew this naked. The knowledge of good and evil now is a reality. Now they know. Now, buddy, I mean sin is real. And the devil don't mind quoting a little bit of scripture, but he won't never quote it like it really is, Brother Melvin. Verse 7, Jesus said unto this lying devil, it's written again. It's okay. It's written again. Go back to the Bible. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Continue my word. You know the truth. Truth make you free. He says, it's written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8 said again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Boy, a lot of people don't make it past this one. And the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. A lot of people have. Verse 10, Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." Now, I want you to know, buddy, this old devil here, he leaves him for a little season, and the whole angels came and ministered unto him. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, verse 11. That old devil will leave you for a little while, but he'll come back. I'm not going to read that other part there. But now, we've read now about his baptism. We've read now about his temptation. Now I want to go to the book of John on his recognition. Finally, somebody declares he's no longer a little lad. Somebody declares who he is. In St. John chapter number 1, verse 19, it said, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elijah?' And he said, 'I'm not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' And they said unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'John here says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And when they were sent were, and they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?' And John answered them and saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lashes I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan.'" I can't say that. Where John was baptizing, and verse 29 is where I'm trying to get to. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." I want you to know, when John made that prophetic statement, here now Jesus is, he's reached manhood. He's no longer a babe. He's no longer a lad. Now he's the Lamb of God that's come into this world to take away the sin of the world. And John makes this declaration. He said, "There he is, boys. There's the Lamb of God. Glory to God." Verse 30, he said, "This is he, of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." I'm laying a foundation. I'll preach here in a minute. And he said, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." We got one more verse here, I believe, to read. Two more. "The next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" Here John's done made two declarations. His declaration says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now I'll tell you what, buddy, there's a lot about the Bible that pertains to Jesus. And the Lamb of God is probably the most important aspect of Jesus. Without the Lamb of God, there's no sacrifice. Without the sacrifice, there's no remission of sins. Without remission of sins, we're doomed for judgment and hell. And I'm telling you, buddy, I thank God for the Lamb of God that came down to give His life for my sake and your sake, that through Him, glory to God, we can be forgiven, we can be pardoned, we can be saved, glory to God.
Amen.
I want to comment a little bit about this Lamb. Abraham said he rejoiced to see his day. Abraham was in a dilemma. Man, God told him to go up on top of Mount Moriah and offer up his son Isaac for a sacrifice, for an offering to me. It didn't make no sense. A lot of times, some things God asks you don't make no sense. And, you know, you think, well, that was back then. I was down at Fallen Timber Creek one time, Brother Lloyd. We was down there waiting on another church to get done baptizing. And I was supposed to help my pastor baptize that day. And while we're sitting there waiting on that other church, I'm just enjoying the beauty of this day, this church here. They're baptizing people out there. Boy, it's a blessed event. In my mind, precious. I'm sitting there looking at the sun shining through them willow tree branches there on that creek bank. And all of a sudden, God said to me, Donnie asked me, he said, does God ever speak to you like you and me? Here's one of them, Brother Donnie. God told me there on that creek bank down Fallen Timber Creek, he said, I want you to get baptized today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, brother, I've done been baptized.
Amen.
I've done been saved. I've done joined the church. This didn't make no sense. What God told Abraham to do didn't make no sense. I had a pretty rough go with it. I'm sure Abraham had a pretty rough go. His was worse than mine. But I'm sitting there thinking, I've done read the Bible three or four times. I've been saved. Man, I don't understand why in the world God want me to be baptized again today. Well, obedience is better than sacrifice. And oh man, I fought as long as I could. I went over to my pastor. I said, Brother Rick, I'm sorry. This don't make no sense to me. It won't make no sense to you. But for some reason or other that I don't know, God just told me back there just a minute ago, He wants me to get baptized here today. He said, no problem. He said, we'll baptize you first. You still help me. Man, He took me right down, Brother Lloyd. I didn't see stars and stripes. I didn't hear angels singing. Nothing. Just down and up. But right after that, God called me to preach. I don't know if He just wanted to see if I'd obey Him, even if it didn't make no sense or not. I'll tell you right now, the next day, God called me to preach on a Monday. Right after that Sunday. Sometimes God asks you to do some things that may not be easy. It may not be convenient. And what God told Abraham to do, Abraham did. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when he drew that knife up to strike his son Isaac, and the Bible said he was rich in faith, believing even that God was able to raise him from the dead, because God had done made a promise to him that through Isaac his seed would be, and he said, you'll see to be as the stars of heaven without number, as the sand of the sea without number, and he believed God no matter what, he was going to have this son, and he said, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't know why, but I believe you, and I'll do whatever you say. He started to stab that knife in the heart of that young boy, and God said, Abraham, slay not your son.
Yeah.
And the Bible said Abraham saw a ram over there with his horns hung in the thorns in the thicket over there.
Amen.
You know what Abraham told Isaac on the way up that mountain? Isaac, that little boy about like, I don't know if we got any little boys in that age or not, a little bit older than Dawson back there. Isaac said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham kind of spoke a little prophetically there. He said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb. And boy, Christ committed Himself right there, boy. He provided Himself a lamb. Here John is. Here He is Himself, a lamb. John says, the Lamb of God. Abraham spoke in faith. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. One of the last things Abraham said, he said, in the mount of the Lord, it'll be seen. That's where this lamb is, on Mount Golgotha, on Mount Calvary. Here he is, the lamb manifest. But right here, the lamb's been manifest by John. But I want you to know, buddy, how this lamb is so important. Revelation chapter 15, verse 6 said, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now this is yet to be. Revelation is yet to be. This is coming. But in the book coming, Revelation, as John hears right down what Jesus is telling him, John the Revelator, he's writing it down. Brother Bobby, he said, won't you preach out of the book of Revelation every now and then, Lord, give me a little gleaning from there. But in Revelation chapter number 5, I'm sorry, verse 6, says there stood a lamb as it been slain. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, says it's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's important. John sees a lamb's been slain. And then he sees a lamb that's been slain from the foundation of the world. John sees him. He said, there's the lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came down. The Lamb of God. Here he is. John makes his declaration. Man, he's now from a lad to a lamb. And Reading these slain from the foundation of the world, I commented on just a minute ago about Adam and Eve. If you don't mind, turn over real quick, Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to comment on several verses there. Revelation chapter 3. They've been told not what to do. They've done it. Verse 7, it says that they've done what they were told not to do. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, making themselves aprons. I want you to know in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, they know that they sinned. They know now that they're naked. Now, the knowledge of sin. The Bible says through the law is the knowledge of sin. Here, they only have one commandment. They broke that one commandment. Now they've got the acknowledgement of sin. Now they see that they have sin. And now they know they're naked. Now they try to cover up their nakedness. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you know you're lost, you can hear the voice of the Lord God walking. Yes. You know why? He's the seeking Savior. Mm-hmm. He comes to seek and save, Sister Carolyn. Yes. He comes seeking Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. They've sinned. They don't know what to do. All they need to do is try to hide it. The only thing I know that can hide sin is the blood. Yes. So here they come. Yes. They're trying to hide. God's coming seeking. That's what He does, Brother Donnie. I'm glad He sought me. Hallelujah. He sought me. We just sung that song, Victory in Jesus. He sought me. He bought me. I'm glad He sought me, Brother Melvin. He sought me. I was trying to hide, but I didn't know what to do. I'll tell you what, you get in sin, you won't know what to do. But here He comes. He's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. That's what sinners do.
Amen.
They try to hide. You can't hide your sin. You know what? God knows everything about you. He knows every thought. He knows every sin that you've ever done. And the most amazing thing is He still loves you.
That's right.
And He still wants to help you. He still wants to rescue you. He still wants to ransom you. He still wants to redeem you.
Yeah.
But you won't never hide from Him. There ain't no hiding place. And the best thing you do is just realize that you can't hide and just come. Just come just like you are. That's the best way to come. People tell me, I'll get straightened up one of these days and I'll come. God don't want you straightened up. God wants you to come just like you are. He'll straighten you up. I'll tell you right now, Adam and Eve thought they had themselves pretty much straightened up. Look here, they're hiding from the Lord. And the Lord, He comes. And I'll tell you what, buddy. He comes a-calling out their name. He comes a-seeking them. And I'll tell you what, they're hiding. Verse 9 said, the Lord said, Adam, where art thou? Let me tell you, He'll not just come seeking, He'll come calling.
Amen.
Verse 10. Here's the problem with sinners. Adam says, I heard thy voice, and I was afraid. Listen, don't be afraid of God. I thought God's my enemy. I ran from God for 34 years. I tried to hide. I tried to say I was alright, but I wouldn't. And the reason I wouldn't is because God wouldn't let me believe that lie. God wants you to know the truth. And the truth is you need to be saved. The truth is, you sin and come short of the glory of God, and He loves you. And He gave Himself, the Lamb of God, to take away your sin. He gave Himself a sacrifice to God for you. That's why on the cross, on Golgotha, He said an intercessory prayer for you and said, Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. He's the Lamb of God. He's given Himself on the cross for the sins of the world. But Adam and Eve, they're afraid. They heard His voice. They're not just afraid because of His voice. They're afraid because they're naked. And they're hiding themselves from God. And I'll tell you what, buddy. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, that those that hide themselves, there's a certain fearful looking for unto judgment. You better get to Jesus before death
where judgment comes. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. That's one appointment you will keep. You won't reschedule. You won't not show up. I'll promise you this, death will come.
Yes.
David said, there's but a step between me and death. It's sometimes it's even closer than that. The Bible said, we're here today and gone tomorrow. And sometimes you're here today and gone today. Those people went to work in that factory and it collapsed. 350-some still counting are gone. That young boy that took that gun, took his life, he's gone. Another one almost done the same thing. The young friend of Jessica, she's gone. Those 15 down in Texas and that fertilizer factory, they're gone. Those three up there in the Boston Marathon, they're gone. One of them 8 years old.
Yeah.
I tell you what you better do. Better get to Jesus.
Amen.
Get it fixed. He comes seeking. He comes calling. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I'm hiding. God said, why are you hiding? He said, because I've sinned. Or actually, he said, because I'm naked. Same thing, he's saying, I've sinned. And God said, who told you he's naked? See, that nakedness come from that knowledge of that tree of good and evil. That tree opened his eyes and now he sees himself as he is. A sinner that sinned against God. But I want you to know he had a friend. I'm telling you, Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's a friend that sticks close to a brother. He's a friend that loveth at all times. And he's a friend that'll come to you in his sin. He'll seek you. He'll call out to you and say, where are you? God knew where he was. God knew what he'd done. He's wanting him to confess here. I want you to know, buddy, they're in trouble. They've done what they wasn't supposed to do. Now the reality of this mistake, they can't handle it. They're hiding. God's seeking. God's calling. Now, he said, I'm naked. God said, who told you he's naked? And he goes to blame that woman, and the woman goes to blame that serpent, and they're all guilty. Here's why I read all this. Look at verse number 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Proverbs chapter 27. Verse 26, if you look at it, it says, the lambs are for thy clothing. Mm-hmm. I want you to know, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This coat is a type of Christ made righteousness unto us. He put a robe on him. He put a covering on him. He put a clothing of righteousness. Paul said that I might find not my righteous, but his righteous imputed to me, that I might be clothed upon with that righteousness of Christ. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he wants to put a robe on you this morning. If you hear laws, only reason he's seeking you, only reason he's calling out to you is because he wants to clothe you. He wants to cover your sins. He wants to give you a covering. Let me tell you this, if you don't get that covering, Matthew chapter 22, verse 11 through 13, the Bible said there was a marriage and the king invited many and one showed up without a wedding garment and he said, friend, how is it you come without a garment? And he was speechless and the king said, bind him hand and foot and cast him out.
Amen.
You better get your garment. You better get clothed upon with the Lamb of God. Now, Revelations chapter 19, verse 14 says that we will be clothed upon with fine linen, white and clean by the Lamb of God. Revelations chapter 3, verse 5 says, to him that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 through 5 says, who is he that overcometh but he that has the Son? I tell you right now, without him you ain't going to overcome. Without him you and your sin. And without him you're not ready to go out to meet him. It says, 1 John chapter number 5, verse 4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. I'll tell you what John said. Better get a closer look at this Jesus. He said he's the Lamb of God. He said he takes away the sin of the world. A lot of people dismissed that. But a lot of people, the Bible said in the next verse, believed. And they started following Jesus. Some of the disciples of John left John and started following Jesus. Because John's record of Jesus, that's him, boys. That's who I'm forerunning. That's the one I'm sent to make his way. That's him who I'm not worthy to bear his shoes. That's him who I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe latch. The Lamb of God. He's not a babe no more, Margaret. He's not a lad no more. He's a 30-year-old man. The Lamb of God. And John put his finger on him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God."
Amen.
He's still walking about. He's still looking for sinners. He's still looking to save, Carolyn. He's still calling out people by name. He said, "Why are you hiding? Why don't you let me help you?" Listen, if you're here this morning, God put His finger on you. I don't know how this message went to you. I know how it went to me. It blessed me all over the place. I'm sitting here just goosebumps running up down me. I'm glad I got to the Lamb. I'm glad I got to Jesus. He got to me. I still remember the day I got saved, even though it was 25 years ago, I guess. This is 2013. I got saved in 1988. Ain't that 25 years? April 27, 1988. I've been saved 25 years. I was 34 years old. I'm kind of hoping the Lord will tarry long enough for me to live for Him more than I live for the world and the devil. And if He allow that, I'll say glory to God. But if He wants to take me home today, I'll gladly go with Him. Wherever He leads, I want to follow. I'm telling you right now, I was telling Donnie on the way up here, I said, "Brother Donnie, the Bible said He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm telling the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in Him. Wherever He leads, that's where I'm going, glory to God. I'm telling you, I don't want to live 15 more years. I want to depart and be with Christ. I want to look upon Him that gave Himself for me, that loved me, amen, with an everlasting love."
Yes.
Man, He loved me more than my mama loved me. Mama loved me enough to let me get away with murder. But Jesus loved me enough to let me escape hell.
Yes, amen.
Mama couldn't do that. And Margaret, she loved me. But she couldn't have loved me enough to let me escape hell. But one intervened. The Lamb of God. And He said, "Eddie, I love you enough to let you escape the damnation of hell."
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I'll run to Him. I found in Him peace.
Amen.
I found in Him joy.
Yes.
I found Him satisfaction. I've been so satisfied. I kind of wish you could do it more once. I wish I could go through it again. It's the greatest thing. I've done a lot of things, but nothing compared to this, Kayla. I'll tell you right now, if I know what I was missing out on, I'd have run plumb out of my shoes. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, no one of the psalmists said in Psalms 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Sound me like He'd been there. Sound me like He's satisfied. Sound me like He tried some of that. Maybe you're here this morning, you're wondering, would God forgive me? Yeah. Would God save me? Absolutely. Would He do it now? He says, "Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," He said, "I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson," He said, "I'll make them as wool." I'll tell you right now, boy, He's a reasonable God, Brother Melvin. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. I thank You for the privilege to brag on Your Son. And Lord, the closer we look at Your Son, the better He looks. I pray somebody got a glimpse this morning of the Lamb of God. And I pray, Lord, dear Father, this morning their heart will be encouraged to run to Him. And to get their name in the book of life, get their sins under His blood. And to get in that body of believers that He's coming for. And I believe it's nigh, even at the door. Father, in these perilous days that we're living in, when people are shooting people, Just seen on the news this morning where a man shot at a woman in a car and the police end up killing the man. These perilous days that you said would come, where people are afraid even to gather in one place because some maniac may put a bomb in a backpack because he's full of the devil, doing the devil's bidding to kill, steal, and destroy. Help, I pray, people to realize there's just one safe place, and that's under the sheltering wing of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help, Father, this morning, I pray, someone, Lord, that's got condemnation and fear, to rise up and run to You. You get the reward of your suffering, the joy that was set before You, that You were so willing to endure the cross and despise the shame. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Everybody stand, please.
360.
I don't know how the Word of God come to you this morning. I'll tell you right now what it is. So welcome to have a home in heaven.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Manning.
Why do you wait, dear brother?
Won't you come this morning?
Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to get.
Yes, He is. He's waiting right here. God bless you, Brother William. I appreciate you so much, brother. So how easy it is just to step out and come. Won't you come? Lord, I thank You for my brother. I thank You, Father, for the godly example. Bless Him, Lord, that He is to you and to me. I pray you bless Brother William. Bless his home. Bless his family. Bless all that he has. Count it precious in His sight. Keep him as an apple of your eye. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm glad as many times, as often as you will, you can come. Why not come to Him? Hold on just a second, Brother Melvin. Let me ask real quick, every head to be bowed just for a minute, please. There's somebody here this morning, Brother Eddie. I need prayer. I'm not saved. I'm not ready. I don't want to miss heaven. I want God to see my hand, and I want Him to show me mercy. God bless that hand. Is there another here this morning, Brother Eddie? Pray for me. I don't want to miss heaven. I want God to know that I want to live eternally in heaven, not in hell. I'll tell you right now, God will see that hand if you raise it. He's merciful and gracious. And I'll tell you right now, if you'll be honest with Him, He'll be honest with you.
Yes.
But if you're here lost this morning, you don't raise your hand, and God takes you out today, you'll lay me in the sentence. If He says, depart from me, I know you not, to the everlasting fire of prayer for the devil and his angels. If you'll meet Him halfway, just say, God, remember me. You remember that, what that thief said on that cross? He said, Lord, remember me. Oh, God's gracious. Are you here this morning, unsaved? God, if you raise your hand this morning, God will see it and I'll see it. He can pray much better than I can, but we'll both pray that you'll come to that place of repentance.
Jesus, Father, help
me. All right, thank God for the hand to come up. Sing one more verse there, Brother Melvin. You need to come this morning. You know more about that than I do. I'll tell you right now, God's bigger than all of us. And the Bible says, God's greater than the heart, knows all things. We have confidence. If we have confidence, or with no condemnation, we have confidence in Him. You need to come, come. Even now. Why not come?
Why not come to Him now?
Thank you, Brother Melvin. Thank you for coming. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. I appreciate Brother Donnie riding up here with me. And I appreciate him so much, the Lord. I just called him this morning. He said, stop by and pick me up. I'll go with you. Appreciate him coming up here with me. And appreciate you coming this morning. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart.
Yeah, Brother Eddie, I'm going to thank the Lord for save my soul and write my name down in the book of life.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not perfect, but I know that name ain't going to be taken away. He knows my heart.
Bless you, Brother Donnie.
He knows where my heart's going, and he just knows all about me more than what I do, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect, you know, but I'm striving to be perfect. You know, the Bible says we need to walk like in Jesus' footsteps, you know.
That's right.
And the same between good and evil, you know. And I think God gives that ability to a Christian, you know.
Bless you, brother.
God gives you that desire in your heart. No matter what comes before you, I mean, I hadn't had an easy walk in my Christian walk, you know what I mean? I've been saved, you know, March 4, 2001. It didn't take no twin tires falling down to get me in church, you know. And you know, I think about that quite a bit, you know. I mean, all these people that was running to the church back then, where are they now?
Yeah, right.
I mean, but I want to thank the Lord for what He's done for me and saved my soul. And I know whenever the Lord calls me home, I'm ready.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Donnie. Maybe somebody else got a word in their heart.
Brother Eddie, I love the Lord today.
Amen, Sister Carolyn.
And I know my name's written there.
Yeah. Woo! Amen. Woo!
Amen.
And I know He's not going to blot it out.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I know that if I sin, I got an advocate with the Father. And I know He's going to go there on my behalf.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
But you know, yes. Brother Eddie, I'm going to go to these people around here the best I know how on His behalf.
Yes.
God bless you, Sister Carolyn.
Yeah,
I just
amen.
Thought about something while she was testifying there. You know, the devil accuses us before God, not name. He got to step over Jesus.
Yes.
Accuse us before God. That's amazing. Jesus sitting right there at the right hand of God.
Yes.
And He can't even accuse us rightly because Jesus is there, like she said, our advocate, saying, Lord, that's mine. Yes. I paid a dear price so that it could be mine. Yes. And I want you to forgive them. And amen. I thank God. I got blessing just hearing Sister Carolyn testify there. I was thinking about how hard the devil is. How hard it is for him to go up there and make anything about any way now because we got Jesus sitting right there beside God saying He's mine.
Amen.
I love Him. I want you to pardon and forgive Him. Amen. I'll get on Him. I'll straighten Him out. I'll chasten Him, whatever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, there's a blind lady who wrote a song called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote another song called Blessing Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Amen.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'll tell you right now, her name was Fanny Crosby. If you're here this morning, and you need what she got, she said, don't pass me by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then she said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Amen.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah.
I say, Lord, don't pass me by. Amen. Just give me what I need.
Bless your heart, Sister Carolyn.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got a word?
I praise the Lord this morning. I thank Him for His blood.
Amen.
I've never forgot the day that He saved me.
Amen, Mom.
Never. I'm looking for Him. I'm looking. Everything's getting so close now. You better look up.
Amen.
Stop looking down and looking at the world.
Yeah.
God made this world. He put some beauty in it. But there's some in there. It's not beauty. And that part you should not look at.
Bless you, Sister Molly. I said I think I'm safe 25 years and I looked back there and Molly was counting. She said, I said 2013, 1988. She's going, amen. Appreciate that. All right, we're done?
Well, I gave up somewhat little. You received so much.
Bless you, Brother Matt.
Amen.
And everybody does when they get give up that old sinful stuff. There ain't no kids. There ain't no future to it. It'll drag you down to torment after burning prayer report. But if we get saved, we can have eternal life, you know. Let's say something else there. Forget what it was, but the Lord has gave me there. But anyway, it
made a good trade.
Well, it's a good trade, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And maybe I'll thank you later. It's really good.
So somebody wrote a song, but best trade I ever made.
Words here, and forget that. But I'll tell you what, now it's the best trade I ever
made. Yeah,
amen.
Sure was.
Amen.
And I know so that much. And I tell you what,
yeah,
it gave me so much. I'm good to have it. But I sold him so hard there for a whole year. But he filled me so full of the Holy Ghost, I could never doubt it. The devil never did try to pull it on me. Man, I tell you what. But I had a long time, hard time getting there. But I noticed when I got there, praise the Lord, I don't want to lose it either.
Man, said, but he finally hit him and squirting out everywhere. He said there was tears running everywhere, and goosebumps. Said it was just all over him.
Give up, like I said, give up
so
much. Eternal life awaits, you know.
Amen.
I've never heard a Christian say they sorry to get saved. I don't remember. I've been the best. Amen. Except the Lord and get filled with the Holy Spirit, get saved. And it's such a wonderful life to live for Him. And,
amen.
Anyway, good to be here. Good to have Donnie here. Everybody else here.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for being here and His Spirit being here. Good message.
Thank you, Brother Melvin. I was actually going to preach two more messages on the closer look at Jesus, but we got Mother's Day coming up. So next Sunday will be the last message I'll preach, and it'll be a message from the Lamb to the King. He's the King.
Amen.
King of kings.
I thought
what
it was. I
wanted
to cross
Jordan alone. Yeah, man.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
There'll be someone there to meet me.
Yes.
I won't have to cross Jordan alone.
That's right.
Amen.
It'll be worth it all. I did cross that Jordan Little, didn't you?
Yeah.
I sure would. I'm forward there, but that's me not across it.
Amen, Brother Melvin. How true. How true. I'm glad, praise God, like him, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. There'll be someone there to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Well, if you didn't get a blessing this morning, come back tonight.
Well, I want to thank you for saving me. Nobody was just talking. He said he was afraid of water. I thought I am too. I said maybe he'll park the water and we just walk right on through.
You ain't got to be afraid of nothing.
Amen.
He casts it out all fear. I promise you this, whatever you're afraid of, when he shows up, you'll be afraid of nothing. He'll say, I'll follow you wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Old song used to be saying, through the fire, through the flood.
Amen.
I don't remember exactly how it went, covered by the blood or something like that. Yeah. I just vaguely remember that song. Are we done?
Next Sunday's fellowship.
What we got now?
Next Sunday's fellowship.
Next Sunday's fellowship Sunday.
Make sure everybody tells Gayla.
Alrighty. Next Sunday's fellowship, Gayla. Next May the 4th, and by the way, thank you for mentioning it, Brother Melvin. My wife, I've just about got her talked into coming. And anyway, y'all pray for her. I'm supposed to meet with some Gideons at Lindsey Wilson College the Saturday, May the 4th. And please pray about that. My wife will come with me. Now, she's coming around. Y'all pray, and I appreciate that. Just keep praying for her. And if that be all, we'll be dismissed. Brother Melvin, would you please dismiss us? Word of prayer, brother.
It's a privilege to be here today with my blessed fellowship. Everyone's been blessed. Thank you.